music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. I would tell you that music is the expression of emotion, and that politics is merely the decoy of perception.
Quality News Network. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and House Democratic leaders are attaching an Iraq withdrawal deadline to legislation providing nearly $100 billion requested by the Bush administration for the Iraq and Afghanistan campaigns and money to expand health care. The Democrats are proposing the redirection of resources to the war against al-Qaeda and the Taliban in Afghanistan, quote, no matter what, Pelosi said. By March 2008, redeployment begins, and by August 2008, it'll be completed, according to this bill, end quote. General Petraeus said in Iraq Today that it was critical that alienated groups, even insurgents, be brought into talks, and he believes violence can be curtailed. He was speaking after Defense Secretary Robert Gates announced the troop surge now underway in Iraq will be supplemented by an additional 2,150 military police because of an anticipated increase in arrests. The UN Atomic Watchdog Agency approved major cuts in aid to Iran today as part of sanctions over suspicions that Iran is trying to build a nuclear bomb. Iran shrugged off the punitive action and showed no signs it was cowed by the possibility of even tougher sanctions. Sinn Féin leader Jerry Adams and the Democratic Unionist leader Ian Paisley, along with his deputy Peter Robinson, were the first to win easy re-election in Northern Ireland today. At stake is the central dream of 1998's peace accord. Counting is to finish Friday. The U.S. Coast Guard is staging a huge exercise in Florida in preparation for a possible mass exodus from Cuba in the event of the death of Fidel Castro. President Bush is going on a five-country tour in Latin America today. This week he announced an increase in humanitarian aid funding to the region. In Mogadishu, at least 12 people were killed today in clashes between African Union troops and Islamic rebels. The death toll in Indonesia's 6.3 earthquake earlier this week has risen to 73. More than 430 remain hospitalized. Hundreds have been left homeless. Today is International Women's Day. Commemorations and conciliatory gestures are taking place around the world. In Iran, 28 women were released on bail. In Algeria, all women prisoners had their sentences cut by 12 months. And in Turkey, 31 women were jailed for shouting slogans. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Attention business owners. Getting new customers is now just one click away. Sounds too good to be true, right? Well, you got us. It's actually two clicks away with the new MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com is more than an online Yellow Pages. It's an interactive gateway that connects customers with your business, all in just two clicks. Why continue to pay thousands of dollars on an antique advertising medium, especially one that ends up going into the recycling bin? Make the smart upgrade at only a fraction of the cost. Try for yourself. MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com will put your business in the radar of thousands of potential customers. They'll be able to make reservations online, even print out the map with directions, all in just two clicks. Call 1-800-505-1883 today to find out more about this great new service. The sooner you do, the faster your cash register will start to ring. The number again is 1-800-505-1883. MyLocalYP.com.
For the first time, the death of a Laotian has been confirmed as a result of the avian flu. The 15-year-old girl died in a hospital. Worldwide, at least 160 people have been killed by the bird flu, most in Asia. China has unveiled a landmark law that will boost the protection of private property. Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson was in Shanghai today, telling officials that reforms are needed to open China's banking system to foreign investors. The fallout from the housing continues. Now it is housing-related jobs that are taking a hit, including people who build and sell homes and makers of appliances and furnishings. At the boom's peak, jobs were being added at 25,000 to 50,000 a month. Now it's just the opposite. On that note, weekly gains are a discussion on Wall Street as investors turn their attention to tomorrow's monthly unemployment report. But on a brighter note, rates on 30-year mortgages dropped today to 6.14%, and that's the lowest that they have been since mid-December. Light sweet crude is trading at $61.59 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange, and gold is holding steady at $655.50 an ounce, silver at $13.50 an ounce. At the close on Wall Street today, the Dow was up 68 points at 12,260. NASDAQ was up 13 at 2387, and the S&P 500 was up 10 at 1,401. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Okay! Talk to you!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Six minutes past the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid, tickled to death to be along with you this evening. I hope you're as tickled to be by your speakers. I'd say your radio, but no, you know, we're better than radio. Anybody can play a radio, but you got to be smart to work one of them computer thingies, one of them difference engines. Wasn't that the original name for the computer, a difference engine? Yeah, or maybe that's just something I cooked up. But anyway, I am glad to be along, and I'm going to do something a little bit different this evening for a very good reason. I'm going to start the program. And you know how loath I am to solicit donations of any sort. I'm going to start the program this evening with something that I consider to be very, very important. And by way of doing this, I also hope that you will treat this as an opportunity. Let me say at the very beginning, this evening I will answer, within reason, virtually any question you have about the horn, how it works, how it came to be, because I want you to know exactly what is going on here. I say this as preface to the following. Our very good friend Billy Shears, who is a regular listener to the Horn, he's a regular listener to Liberal Talk, great fan of Mike Malloy's, and a great believer overall in the necessity of getting out some other message besides the ordinary day-to-day blah 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 load of crap that mostly flows into America via right-wing radio. And Billy was listening, as usual, last week when our good friend Guy James, who also broadcasts on the Horn and whom we are proud to call a brother in the struggle, discussed his ongoing difficulties with maintaining his program. Because, you see, and a lot of people don't know this, I guess, maybe I'm at fault for this, but it's just not something I give a lot of thought to. Guy has a mirror image of the studio that we have in West Virginia. Guy has a different phone number from the phone numbers that you use to call in other Horn programs. Guy has phone lines that he's responsible for. Everything that Guy does, Guy covers on his own, out of his own pocket and out of donations that he receives. So, apparently, Billy Shears had posted this over at the Mike Malloy forum, and I'm going to go ahead and take the liberty of sharing it with you. Because last week, Guy indicated that it was getting to the breaking point where he could no longer manage to maintain the costs of doing, of paying to do his own show. You know, there's some doggone patriotism for you. I've had a lot of interaction with Guy. Guy's not doing this out of ego. He's certainly not doing it for the money. Guy does what he does because he believes in something as sacred as the First Amendment and the idea of a free exchange of information and ideas. But anyway, after Guy and his wife on his show sometime late last week talked about the straits that they are in, well, today I got this posting. I read this posting when and Billy Shears simply wrote, "When Mike Malloy was fired from AAR, I could not believe how that happened. I only knew that I was prepared to help Mike and Kathy any way I could to get them back on the air. As Guy James and Bob Kincaid both will agree, Mike Malloy is the king of liberal radio. In my search to fill the void of Mike's message, I remembered Mike talking about this radio network called The Horn. I tracked it down, and the first show I heard was Guy James. Wow, I thought, this guy's really, really good. Suddenly, Guy James went into this rant about how unfair and ridiculous it was for Air America to silence and just take Mike's voice away. He didn't stop at just one mention. Guy James was on this daily. For that, I will remain loyal to the Guy James show as long as I am able to breathe. I also want to say that Bob Kincaid was just as outraged over Mike's firing. I never miss a Guy James, Bob Kincaid, or a Mike Malloy show. I've become not only a loyal listener of Guy James, but a friend. We communicate daily. Some of you may know that I offered to help Guy out with music on his show. Guy does everything to keep the show on. He has no producer. He does his own show research and show prep. There are no paid bodies, including Guy. In fact, Guy James has poured his own money into the effort. He can no longer sustain the expense. If you listen to a Nova M show that airs at 3 p.m. Eastern, keep listening. Or if you love Randy Rhodes, keep listening. Just do yourself a favor and go to the White Rose Society and download the Guy James show after listening to Nova M or Randy. Now, here's my offer. Billy Shears writes, "I am looking for 60 supporters for the show. All we need is 60 people to donate $10 a month. Now, I'll go even further. PayPal will only take a $10 minimum. If you will commit to just $5 a month, I'll trust that you'll send the donation directly to the Guy James Show. And you can help out by going to the website, theguyjamesshow.com. After Guy James confirms your participation," Billy Shears says, "I will produce a Guy James Show CD. It will include Guy's intro music, some of Guy's wonderful rants, and selected songs that have aired on the show. It will be done with crossfades to make it flow as seamlessly as possible. There will be a nice CD cover with the content listed on the inside. Guy will even personally write a message to you and sign it to each supporter. I will then mail it to you when you give Guy your address." And Billy Shears closes by saying, "Come on, let's save liberal radio." Nobody asked Billy Shears to do that. That is his volunteer effort at saving what Guy James is trying to do. Now, I said that I will answer any question you care to ask about the Horn this evening in an effort to make everything crystal clear. Because, of course, I am away from the home studio, and my lovely wife, Agnes, is carrying that entire operation on her shoulders with the very, very valuable help of our other producer, Zach. If it gets done up there, they do it. And it goes from roughly 10 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. And I don't know if you've been, many of you probably have been away from someone you loved with all your heart at a time when they were hurting and you couldn't do anything about it. But you see, last week when Guy began talking about how difficult it was for him to maintain his own show, my lovely wife fielded phone calls from people asking why us no good sons of bitches at the Horn didn't pay poor guy. Now, I want to make it absolutely clear, and I've tried to, that Guy does this all on his own. And it is a heroic effort. All his phones, his internet connectivity, all the incredibly expensive top-of-the-line studio equipment he has obtained. And he does help have some donor help, but he does not have nearly enough. And for the record, I want you, because this is not being me being angry. This is me trying to be as earnest and honest and candid as I have always told you that I deemed it was my duty to be with you. Mark Levine is not paid by the Horn. Joe Vecchio is not paid by the Horn. Guy James is not paid by the Horn. John Fox is not paid by the Horn. And just in case you're wondering, Agnes and I aren't paid by the Horn. When we founded the Horn, it was done with the idea that we would create a liberal media outlet and find support for it, not from individual listeners, because my God, you give us your time and I'm going to ask you to give us your money too? Uh-uh. There are liberal organizations out there, lots of them, and they have a lot of money. And so we founded the Horn on the idea that we would put the media up there that our side of the fight constantly complains doesn't exist and needs to exist. You know, it's a little bit like Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. Well, you have come. You have come, listeners. Friends, you have come, and you have come in your thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Now all we have to do is get it supported. For the record, all in the world that the Horn is able to do right now is stay on the air, keep the lights on. I mean, not one can of beans. Nothing. Nada. Niente. Nix. Nihil. Is paid for by the Horn. Now, one last thing. Every night I implore you to support Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. I do that because Ben Birch is not paid by the Horn. The Horn exists as a hope. The Horn exists as a dream. The Horn exists as the physical manifestation of the yearnings that we perceived of people to finally have a say, to finally have a real outlet for their First Amendment rights. And we do it every day, day in and day out. We don't do it for us. I don't do it for me. If there is any, you think of me what you will. We do it because we love this country. And we are not willing to go silently to the slaughter or see the Constitution silently shredded. So I hope, not just 60, I hope 600 of you will commit not at $10, but at $100 a month to help Guy. Because this is how Guy does stay on the air. It is incumbent upon you. Okay? I will not ever, and let me repeat, and that's why I'm able to ask you to send money to Guy James, to ask you to send money to Ben Burch, to ask you to support the mission to Mississippi. The reason I am able to do that and do that with a clear conscience is because I will never, never, never ask you for a dime. Because that isn't how it is supposed to work. Not for what we have in mind with the horn. It was not created as a vehicle to be supported by the people who already share their time to listen to it. That is a very different fact altogether from the individual shows on the horn. Everybody has bills to pay. Everybody has needs to meet. And so I don't mind asking you to share your money with a great man like Guy James. Because the 2 hours that Guy James is on is 2 more hours every day than America had before. And where we are right now, and how we are right now, those 2 hours are precious. So, you know, I've put out there the information that I hope you will find valuable. If you have questions about how this, if you have any further questions, ask them on the air tonight. Light the daggum phones up. I will answer them. And I will tell it to you in the most plain terms possible. I'll tell you who RMR is. I get asked that a lot, if you want to know. So you know how to get in touch with the program, 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on. You know how to reach me, bob@headonradio.com, but for the love of God, don't ever ask my darling wife while us rotten sons of bitches aren't paying somebody. That part made me mad. You are listening to the to America's liberal voice. You are listening to the horn. And I am Bob Kincaid. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? Now and now my life has changed in oh so many ways. My independence seems to vanish in the haze. But every now and then I feel so insecure. I know that I just need your light. I've never done before.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe in what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at
the Head On Radio Network.
Now get back to work.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
You know what? I'm not over it. I may spend the rest of the night on this. Somebody better stop me because I may divulge information that somebody. No. You know what? This is what it is, and there's nothing. Look, I'm going to tell you. No. I'll save it. I'm going to go to the phones first. You know why I'm going to go to the phones? I'm going to go to the phones because the phones are 5.9 cents a minute. And every time I keep somebody on hold, I'm just running up our bills. So, you know, I mean, this doesn't happen for free. So, Susan is with us. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program. I'm sorry I'm being an ass.
No, you're not being an ass, Bob, and I'm so mad I can't see straight. And I'm not mad at you. Got news for the people who are calling Agnes and saying, why can't you pay Guy? Now, I understand where you're coming from. You're probably thinking, well, they're making as much money as Mike and Kathy Malloy. Well, sorry, folks. Mike and Kathy Malloy are making union scale.
Well, I don't know, and that's not what it's about to me, Susan. I hope you understand that. I'm not jealous of anybody.
Yeah, I know you're not jealous.
It's obvious from last week, Susan, that there are assumptions that Agnes and I are rolling around in the tall cotton.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I've got news for people. Do you know what they asked of me when I called up and said, what can I do to help? I'm going to spill a secret here, Agnes. They said, you can blog. They didn't ask me for money. They asked me for help. You want to help this network? Get busy. get off your duff and help. Don't just sit around and complain.
Well, you know, thank you, Susan.
I'm sorry.
I feel. I didn't want to do this.
I know. But they're picking.
And you know, and the fact that I have had a little tantrum on air should not be misinterpreted by anybody as me saying that the horn's going anywhere. It's not. We're solid for a while.
Oh yeah, I understand.
And solid means that we'll be able to pay out for a few more months, the $1,200 a month that it takes to keep this on the air.
But hey, the horn can always use a few more hands.
Sure, you know I have said all along, Susan, that if by some miracle $100,000 was to fall into our laps, that what would happen at the horn is as follows. One, we would make sure that our operating capital was solid for the next 2 or 3 years. Two, we would hire a publicity pro.
Uh-huh.
A publicist, if you will. Someone to get the word out. Because what's going on here is as good as any other radio being produced anywhere in the country, terrestrial, satellite, or internet. And we just need to let people know it exists.
Yes, exactly. And a way to let people know it exists is get people involved. And that means, hey, don't just sit around and complain about the horn and what it's doing or not doing. Get involved. Call up Agnes and say, hey, what can I do to help? And then follow through.
Right. And the best way to help, again, is to help get the word out.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's any blog you go to.
Yeah.
You know, make the horn your signature at the end of your blog posts.
I've not only got the horn, I've got Syntab on both on every piece of the email that comes
exactly.
on my computer.
you know, it's amazing. It's amazing what you do.
Oh, yeah. I've also got business cards being printed up right now.
And it's amazing what Gene does. And what John does.
Yeah.
And what Ben does. This is... And Mark and Guy and Joe.
And, you know, you want to know why I do it?
Please.
Because shortly after Mike Malloy was fired, in fact, the very day he was fired, I went over to the horn because his message board mentioned the horn.
Yeah.
And
no one has been more supportive of our effort to grow and to build an audience than Mike Malloy has.
Yeah. A radio show host named Bob Kincaid said, "Radio is my passion." And that resonated with me. You don't do this to get rich. You do this because you love it.
Yeah. That's not a joke, Susan. I've done a lot of things in my life, but I've said a million times, the first job I ever had during high school, the other people in my class were going, and I think the minimum wage was $3.15 an hour. They were going and flipping burgers for $3.15. I went and spun gospel radio records for $3.15.
Right, and.
And I did it to make extra money through college, yada yada yada.
Yeah.
And whenever I was doing something that wasn't radio, every now and then I would go to sleep at night and I would have this dream. And in this dream, I would be behind a radio board trying to run a show and none of the buttons would work.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't get the music to play, or the carts wouldn't fire, or the transmitter was down. And actors have this dream, similar dream, where they go on stage, but they don't know what play they're in or what their lines are. And as soon as I got back into radio, those dreams stopped, because you know what? Those are terrifying dreams.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is worse than the one you have in fourth grade where you're naked in the classroom.
Right. And to me, for some reason, the fact you love this profession, and Agnes is right in there with you.
Agnes is the real hero of this operation, Susan.
Yeah, oh yeah,
because
I mean she just. And then on top of that, she takes care of four kids.
Yeah. And until October the 24th, 2005, Agnes had never pushed a button, never been around a microphone, never been in broadcasting, never done any of it, and she has turned into an absolutely seasoned pro.
Yeah, and she's wonderful, and I love her to pieces.
And with me here and her there, this couldn't happen without her.
Is a wonderful
and so that's why it especially got under my skin when she had to take the brunt of someone who just made an assumption that here we were at the horn just rolling in money.
Yeah, you're not rolling in money.
And holding back on our hosts.
Yeah, you're rolling in friends and people who adore you. That's what you're rolling in. You're rich in friends.
Well, yeah, I recognize that. It's like the end of. The end of It's a Wonderful Life, where the guy says, here's to George Bailey, the richest man in town.
Yeah.
We are rich beyond our wildest dreams in friendship and in love and in compassion and in camaraderie.
Exactly. But I still got to tell you, if I ever get to a lottery out for about $400 million, I'm going to drop about $20 million on you.
You know, it's a weight I'll just have to learn to try to bear, Susan.
Anyway, I'm going to let you go.
All right. Thanks, Susan.
I just had to say my piece. These are two of the best people on the planet, people. Take care of them. They'll take care of you.
Yeah, and again, I don't want any donations.
No.
I don't want it.
Don't want any donations. At the very most, they want your time.
There aren't many other places where you get to be an active part of building something that someday will be huge.
And that's what I'm doing. And it just thrills me to death.
Thank you, Susan.
You have a nice evening. And
you
give
too.
My love to
you
your
too.
Lovely wife.
I will.
Okay,
bye
bye.
Bye now. I guess, am I wrong? Did this need to be said? We have talked a long time about Agnes wants me to go. Okay, we're gonna drop this topic for a little bit and go to David in Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob. You know that's a hard intro to follow, but you know,
I wouldn't have done it if I didn't deem it was absolutely necessary.
Oh, I'm right there with you. I mean, so what you're saying about the guy James, not to harp on this, but so what you're saying about the guy James thing, I'll be truthful with you. I didn't listen to him that much. It just wasn't my kind of really listening. But I mean, can you just donate one time, or does it have to be like?
No. Look, at this point, donations for Guy are critical.
Right.
If you've got something you can give once, give once.
Right. I'm just saying I don't know if there's a setup where, you know, where you donate something and it'll have a reoccurring charge every month or something.
Frankly, I can't speak to that because I'm not part of the process.
Okay. Well, I'll give what I can on that.
Okay. Thank you, David.
No problem.
You can make contact if you just go to theguyjamesshow.com.
I actually gave a donation to that little baby that Sarge had on his page on Unreported News.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there hasn't.
And
been
see, that's the thing. We the people on this side of the debate have hearts as big as the earth itself, and we will give until it hurts.
Right.
And the sad thing is, we are being called upon to give and give and give and give.
You know, the thing that really annoys the crap out of me, if I can say crap, is that
you can say crap.
When I see things on television and people clap and they they celebrate and all that. I start running tallies up in my head, Bob, of all the award ceremonies, of every single congratulatory ceremony that's on damn TV and every single media event, and I think all of that money could go to so many people trying to start something creative instead of just giving yourself a clap on the back. It's a waste, yeah, if you think about it. You could be blowing something.
We were talking, as we frequently do, about the Katrina recovery.
Right.
And I looked at billions, David, for the love of God, billions of dollars that were poured into political campaigns. This country, in the face of the worst natural disaster that has ever struck it, did not have the will to look at its politicians and say, shut up. Just shut up. Run your campaigns and get out on the stumps and stand on the courthouse squares and scream till you're hoarse, but you give every last dime that you would spend on media until New Orleans and the Gulf Coast is fixed.
You know, this is a hard lesson to learn, but we should have had some kind of reserve fund, not Social Security, obviously, because people can touch that, but we should have had a reserve fund for situations like that. And I wish, you know, this goes back to what I call the glitterocracy, where everything shiny and everything metallic and everything plastic and everything colorful that you have to have that has a brand or a logo on it. And you don't think about the people. You think about the brand or the logo more. And I think it has more, it's almost like a religion.
Yeah, well, I saw there's a running thing going at Doonesbury these days.
Right.
Where BD is going in to get a custom paint job on his prosthetic leg.
Yeah.
And he wanted it for, you know, because he's the football coach there at Walden. And he told the guy who was doing the customized job, he said, I've got to have a swoosh. Because, you know, Nike's a sponsor of the football team, obviously.
One thing annoying me about, like, the Oscars and the Grammys and all of this, they say they care for people and all of this, and, you know, take some initiative and just cancel the ceremonies and donate the money to people who need it, if you really are in their corner. I mean, nobody believes words anymore. It's all about action, Bob.
Yeah.
Words have been thrown out to the curb. And yet what we
do are words, David.
Right. What I'm saying is words. For example, you know, when I'm the headline that I'm going to say tonight that I was previewing yesterday is one that, you know, nobody picked up on because we were so obsessed with Anna Nicole. Why Scooter Libby is whatever. I mean, but anyways, do you know we have a new state counselor? Nobody knows that, do they? Did you?
No.
Do you know that?
No.
And guess what, Bob? He's worse than Philip Zelikow. His name is Elliot Cohen. He's an ex-member of the Project for the New American Century, and I kid you not, people, when I say this, I'm saying a little bit louder now because I want people to understand. He believes that we are currently in World War IV.
Oh, is he one of those people?
World War IV, people. Here's a dynamic quote from the master himself. Afghanistan continues just one front in World War IV. And the battles, there's just one campaign. First, if one front in this war and the contest for free and moderate governance in the Muslim world, the U.S. should throw its weight behind pro-Western and anti-clerical forces there. The immediate choice lies before the U.S. government in regard to Iran, the overthrow of the first theocratic, revolutionary Muslim state, and its replacement by a moderate or secular government, however, would be no less important a victory in this war than the annihilation of bin Laden.
Well, that sort of sets it all out, doesn't it, David?
Yes, it does.
On the one hand, it's a convenient excuse for not getting bin Laden, although I had an email a couple of days ago from our friend Billy Shears saying that he had heard on ABC's news that the CIA has bin Laden squarely in its sights. So, you know, now that everything is going to caca for the Bush administration, and, you know, he dipped into the 29% neighborhood the other day, approval rating-wise, it may be time to pull bin Laden out of the hat.
You know, this guy's a real piece of work. He believes in radical militarism, and it's almost like it comes from a different universe and a different dimension. He doesn't believe women and stupid troops should serve. This is the kind of person we're dealing with now. This is the guy who negotiates.
What's this guy doing at State instead of the Pentagon? I mean, as a secondary question, David? I suppose it's fair to ask: is that what we've got now? Have we gotten to the point where the Pentagon has gotten its tentacles into every last single branch and part of the government?
Well, remember, Bob, we have to go back to the early '90s and the Kooks in the Basement meeting, where they started the Project for the New American Century.
Yep.
Elliot Cohen is a veteran of that. He was the guy who signed off on that letter to President Clinton and said, you know, you should bomb Iraq in 1998.
Here's a great idea.
I know. Now here's the thing. It doesn't make sense. And, also, for people who want to know how powerful Elliot Cohen is, Elliot Cohen's book is the one that inspired our president to do this grand retransformation of the military at large. His book, he has a book out. It's even on audio, too. It's called Supreme Command. I don't know if I could stomach that. But here's this guy telling you, well, all you got to do is this and this and that. You just cut that. You just cut this.
A nip here, a tuck there, and it's all just beautiful all over again.
Right. And you know, here's the thing. Why wasn't this on CNN? I mean, this was on...
After we... It's interesting. After we talked about who's his name from 24, you know, after you were on that like a duck on a June bug...
Right.
It about a week later, lo and behold, it actually did get mentioned on the TV. So, as far as I can tell, going all the way back to when I started talking about the Valerie Plame thing... That was in the summer of 2003, and lo and behold, about 6 months later, it began to finally dribble into television newsrooms. Again, these are some lazy, lazy, lazy people, David.
You know, I don't think anyone wants to try, and I don't think anyone thinks you can market a story like this. I think you can market a story when someone who believes we're currently in World War IV. Imagine if this guy was a Democrat. Not to harp on that crap, but...
Oh, no. I understand, because it just so happened that in the course of my day... You know, I sit down, I turn the stupid CNN on once in a while, and what did I get today? Can Barack Obama, the darling of the media, the guy that was described as a rock star, can he now stand the harsh scrutiny of the media? Is the honeymoon over? Yes, it turns out we found out, it's just been revealed to us, that shortly before declaring his candidacy for the office of president, Barack Obama paid $375 in outstanding parking tickets from when he was a student at Harvard. Oh my God! And you know,
what my new favorite story is, transgender city official. Oh my God!
Now, see, I was walking out of the room when that one came on.
You know what I would do if I was in the newsroom? I'd be like, I'd say real quietly, I'd go, you know, that's interesting that he's a city official, but did you know something else? There's a guy on our administration who believes we're in World War IV!
They would throw you out so fast?
I know, they wouldn't believe it. That's another thing. People don't want to read it, and they go, ah, it's a conspiracy theory. That's just a conspiracy theory. No, it isn't. The basement door is open.
The guy wrote a stinking book.
I know. The guy wrote it. He didn't just write one book. He wrote all the... I mean, he wrote it. He wrote an article called... It's in the Wall Street... It was in the... It's an opinion journal. You can go there. Just, you know, just Google it. Elliot Cohen with one T, one L. Elliot Cohen, World War IV, opinion journal. And he talks about it, and you hear all these people, and what's funny about it is you read the comments, and these comments are from like November of like 2002 or something, or November 2001, right before, you know, the Afghanistan and the Iraq invasion. So you hear all these people, and they're like, yeah, that's a good idea. We should do that. But You know, I would love to see, I mean, I would love to hear these people's reactions now. Probably half of them would still think that it's a grand idea to, I don't think they understand when they say to expand the military, that means you cut a lot of veteran benefits and veteran health care, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Why we even listen to these people? It doesn't even take that much education. You take something from here, you're going to lose something from there.
Well, that's sure.
there's nothing to say to that. I mean, you know, and I'm just looking at this and I'm thinking, people are in a different world. I mean, it would only take 1 minute to mention that of Elliot Cohen's background. I'm surprised that Cafferty didn't even mention it in passing. But
no,
you know,
today Cafferty was on this stupid little law that's been proposed saying that whenever a girl under 16 gives birth, that it has to be a crime has to be reported or some such. Go figure.
You know, I think the best thing for her to do would move on. Maybe they can make some trading cards for the Project for the New American Century, where they have their stats on the back.
Oh gosh, I had my I had my crooked deck of Bush administration playing cards from Greg Palast probably 3 years ago.
I think you'll agree with me on this. I mean, the administration, to me, they're dangerous. But these
PNAC
people, anyone associate, I mean, the people that aren't in administration that are coming in now, those are the more dangerous people.
Yeah.
Elliot Cohen is as dangerous as Rumsfeld people. And again, nobody's
Well, it's people like Elliot Cohen who more or less created Rumsfeld. This idea of a pared down military where the only thing that the military has left are the guns and bombs, and everything else is going to be privatized out and contracted. That's straight out of PNAC.
He also wrote an article in 1982 called "Why We Need a Draft." So you know, there's just humor all around. And I would just advise people to, keep your eye on Elliot Cohen and go to Glenn Greenwald's blog, because he deserves all the credit for mentioning Elliot Cohen's background. Otherwise, this would be totally in the dark. So I thank God that there was one blog that would mention something like this. And you'd be surprised how many responses he got from this, Bob. I think he got over like 1,000 or something like that. 1,000 responses on this one subject. So for people to say, well, they're not interested in that. No, 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 that's not it. People will be interested in it as long as you find a correct way to sell what you're saying, market it, and just basically get your point across. And if you have something interesting, people will read it and people will comment.
And if you are a good enough journalist, it won't be boring.
That's right, and it won't be boring. And that's what we need people in the newsroom. That's where we need people in all facets to bring this information to light. You can't just sit there and go, I don't know if somebody would, you know, the other day I was just talking to my pizza man, believe it or not, when I go to get pizza. And I was like, what do you know about the first thing I asked him was say, what do you know about the deficit? What do you think we're up to? That was my opening line. I know, it's catchy. And he didn't really have a clue. He had a general idea. I said, well, I think you're off a bit on that one. And I told him, and he was totally surprised. And he started saying, you know, well, I just, you know, this is another problem with the political elitism. It runs rampant, and we need to really, really smash this while we're at it. A lot of people are just afraid because they're novices, they think, well, I don't know about that, and I just haven't been paying attention, I guess. But if you put it in a way where, you know, you just give them basic sound bites, but basic intelligent sound bites, if you can do that, I mean, that'll hang on, and maybe that'll have a way of spreading and distributing it. And that's what I suggest to people, you know, just...
Talk it everywhere. Tell the pizza guy.
don't sound angry, just, you know, do it how I do it. I sell it with humor. I'm like, yeah. I can't believe these people. These people are crazy. They let the kooks out of the basement. See, that's my favorite line.
You know, when you've got one that works for you, stay with it. I mean,
understand that, though. Kooks in the basement. They let them out. They're in the White House now. I get it. And I told, and then, I mean, and then when I spelled out to him, he goes, so we're going to go into World War III, huh? And I'm like, I don't know about that. I know it's looking like that, but I wouldn't be as certain on something.
Not if we don't want to, we won't.
What? What's that?
Not if we don't want to, we won't.
That's true.
That's the problem. We're being programmed to want to.
We're being programmed to want to, and we need to get right back on track, and hopefully we will.
Exactly. Hey, David, we got to roll.
No problem, Bob.
Thanks. Thanks. Thanks for everything. Thanks for the Cohen story. I've got it right here in front of me.
All right, later. You met.
All right, take it easy.
Okay, later.
Our good friend David in Maine. David reads. David absorbs. I think David's like a one-man Google. Because his mind is everywhere. And that's what makes me think, you know, because I have some dark moments. When I finished the show last night, and sort of walked away and wondered if there's any hope, if there's any point. But when I see people, and when I see the stories that you guys email me every day, and I see how you're out there and you know, you yourselves are grabbing information. And you're putting things together, and you're making a cohesive whole out of what would seem to be disparate unique pieces of information. But you see how it all comes together. Then, yeah, there's hope. There's hope. And I'm not talking about for the horn. I'm talking about for this country. But apparently some frustration is setting in. I've got a blog posting here from David Sirota, whom I read frequently and often agree with. And he's talking about it and lauding the fact that we had a story come out today that lo and behold, our party have announced a binding resolution that would force George Bush to begin withdrawal in 120 days under certain circumstances. This is a binding resolution. So, yeah, maybe a little bit at a time, there's change. And just on the outside fringes of possibility, there's hope. Anything is on the table. It always is on the horn. Yeah, I can't imagine. I drive around and I hear, you know, I'm a talk radio junkie, and I like to listen to what the evil people are saying just to see what kind of lies they're passing off. And, you know, I'll hear these guys, you know, it started with Flush with Open Line Friday. And the other day it was some other gas bag who was telling his audience that they could pick the topic. Has there ever been a day on the horn when you couldn't pick the topic? There has never been a day on the horn when you couldn't pick the topic. And that is why we call ourselves America's liberal voice. We are the liberal voice of this great nation. And I'm Bob Kincaid, and we'll be back after the news. The phones are there for you to use. 877-443-2366. We'll be back.
To do. Oh, brother, I can't. This is the Quality News Network. House Democrats want all U.S. combat troops out of Iraq by the fall of next year. As they unveiled new legislation today requiring the withdrawal, they urged President Bush to focus on new conflicts stirring in Afghanistan, saying his war strategy in Iraq has failed. America's top general in Iraq today said military might is not the absolute solution to the war. General David Petraeus says the Iraqi government has to address the insurgency politically and diplomatically, and that eventually some militant groups will have to be included in the effort. Defense Secretary Robert Gates announced the troop surge underway in Iraq will require an additional 2,200 military police. At least a dozen U.S. troops have been killed in Iraq this week. Responding to recent revelations of shoddy health care for wounded veterans, House leaders propose adding an additional $1.7 billion to the Iraq War Appropriation Bill. Those funds will go to medical care and rehabilitation for troops. In Phoenix, a former U.S. Navy sailor has been arrested on spying charges. Hassan Abu Jihad allegedly provided a London-based group with information on troop movements and other classified material. In Vienna today, the UN's nuclear watchdog agency cut technical aid to Iran that might be used to produce a nuclear weapon. About two dozen aid projects will be affected. In Mogadishu, at least 12 people were killed today in clashes between African Union troops and Islamic rebels. And the U.S. Coast Guard is staging a huge exercise in preparation for a possible mass exodus from Cuba when Fidel Castro dies. President Bush launches a trip to Latin America today. This week, he announced an increase in humanitarian aid funding to the region. Attacks against U.S. Border Patrol agents have increased 10% last year as opposed to the year before. Officials say tighter security on the U.S. border is frustrating those trying to cross illegally or traffic in drugs. And British actor John Inman died today at age 71. He was best known for his role as Mr. Humphreys in the highly successful BBC comedy series, Are You Being Served? It's International Women's Day, and there are celebrations all over the globe. It's being commemorated with festivals, lectures, and demonstrations. Science and Business News, next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
A new report says African American men are 7 times more likely to be diagnosed with HIV than white men. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released those findings today. Higher HIV rates already among blacks puts them at a higher risk of contracting the disease. For the first time, the death of a Laotian has been confirmed as the result of the avian flu. Worldwide, at least 160 people have been killed by the bird flu, most in Asia. Scientists say they finally know why blue whales sing. A Scripps Institute of Oceanography study indicates feeding whales use sounds to notify each other of their location. Oceanographers also say the whales sing in 9 distinct dialects depending on where they live. Internet phone provider Vonage has been ordered to pay $58 million to Verizon Communications. That's for patent infringement. A federal jury made the ruling today. The Pentagon has awarded a $210 million contract to several manufacturers to produce a new kind of combat truck that protects troops from roadside bombs. 70% of U.S. casualties in Iraq are the result of roadside bombs. Light sweet crude is trading at $61.64 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up 68, the NASDAQ up 13, the S&P up 10. I'm Laurel Crisson with Quality News Network.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
We roll on, and the officer stands. I will answer anything you want to know about this network and maybe tell you some stuff along the way that you don't want to know. But the news grabbed me there. Always nice to see the big corporate boys getting along, isn't it? Verizon got a judgment against Vonage. Look, the buggy whip manufacturer got a judgment against the automobile manufacturer. But more important than that, it is in fact International Women's Day. And all over the world, the sentences were commuted, things like that. And at John Jay High School in New York, three girls were suspended for saying vagina in public in the United States. Yes. Oh, Lordy, it's just a little embarrassing, isn't it? I'm going to bring John Fox on right now.
John, hey, man, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. We haven't done this in a very, very long time, but you opened the program in such a way that it was kind of unavoidable. I know that, you know, Agnes got hammered last week because the listeners...
Now,
wait.
Time out. You've gone all Aussie on us. Many people would take Agnes got hammered last week for Agnes put a straw in the liquor bottle. Let's be clear.
Okay, no. Verbally hammered by a few listeners who did not understand exactly how this project has stayed alive for, what is it, almost 18 months or something we've been doing this?
Yeah, it'll be 2 years in October, at least, I mean, for the very first Horn broadcast.
Boy, that was a trip.
Yeah, like 1,000 years ago.
Yeah, and I think John's adrenaline levels were at an all time high on that day when we threw Fourth Estate on as a live thing for the first time, that was in
late January of 2006.
Yeah,
I was producing and just typing to you as fast as I could. John, for the love of Christ, breathe.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think I've settled down pretty well over the months, and you know, I think what you've done today has been a bit of an eye opener for a lot of people. I know that a huge amount of our listeners do get what we're doing. I mean, as far as that, we make this thing happen on our own accord at the moment. Now we do get you know, some assistance from the carpenters, which is great. But
yeah, you mentioned that let's be forthright about that. 2 years ago we got $15,000 from the carpenters,
and that doesn't add up to much. I mean, we're thankful for that, but you know, we need to find more of that kind of thing, because as I mentioned in the chat room earlier, one day's Air America budget could keep us on air for 1 year.
Yeah.
Right? And when you think about that, and the fact that we are putting out something like, you know, 13 hours or 12 hours or whatever it is at the moment, maybe 11 hours of live programming every day on what I would consider less than a shoestring budget. And this is not me complaining at all, because
no.
We've done this all purely as a labor of love, and because we think that it's crucial to not just trying to save the American democracy, but you know, we have this really, really strange turn that the whole planet has taken over the last couple of decades. And you know, if people aren't speaking for us, we got to get up and speak out ourselves. So we've done the best we can with the technology that is available to us, and I think we do a bloody good job of it. And we're getting this stuff out. You know, you talk about the fact that you were on the Valerie Plame story in 2003, and you know, it finally trickled down to the useless slugs in the mainstream media to finally pick it up and go, hey, you know, something's going on here. You know, aside from, you know, the Seymour Hersh's and the few others who really have taken the concept of journalism and reporting and media for what I think it is, you know, and as Robert Fisk was corrected by an Israeli journalist once said, you know, the job of a journalist is to challenge those in power. And I think that is exactly what we try to do each and every day here on the Horn. And I, you know, I would really, really hope that, you know, some point along the line, you know, ever since the iTunes listing, our listenership has, you know, skyrocketed, which has been a fantastic thing. You know, Jeff Allen Wolf sent us a post from a forum where actually someone responded and used us as an example over the RIAA.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so I mean, we are bit by bit via word of mouth, because that's the only way we get anywhere. We don't get accidental listeners. The only accidental listeners that we kind of get now are via iTunes, because they open up their software, and if they happen to open up the talk radio thing, they go, oh, Head On Radio Network. What's that?
Yeah, and, well, bless their hearts, I got an email from Clyde the other day over at WD40.com, and they have put a live player for the Horn up.
I saw that, and I thought that was fantastic. And I mean, you know, and it's because of some of these, you know, not huge websites, but the more medium size and smaller websites that have put links to us, have posted stories about us. You know, there's the guys from UNN, Billy Shears, who I promise, Billy, I am going to write next week's musical piece. I'm going to get to it. I promise. And the hard part,
don't make him come down there and find you.
You should see my email box over the last couple of days, and I keep emailing him back going, but how do I round this down to one song? But that's completely another thing. But, you know, it's because of these people that care as much about the state of modern media as we do, who are not necessarily the type, you know, pre-programmed to want to go out there and put their own voice out and you know, I mean, they do in their own ways, but to, you know, they're not into doing this radio thing. You know, I never did this radio thing until I hooked up with Bruce. You know, I come from a completely different background, but you know, I brought my engineering skills into the fold. You know, helped get Agnes up to speed on production and you know, and some of these things. So I just bring what I have into the fold to try and make things better. You know, and you know, I am so proud of what we've done, Bob, because very few people would have done this. And we take so much time out of our own lives because we feel it's crucial. It's you know, it's not because of an ego trip. It's because we think that this is so unbelievably important, you know. And I have the response from just my show today, because I went completely off my standard subject today, but it was because, again, it was something that I thought had to get out there, and I didn't believe that it was getting out there by any other means.
And likely won't. I know the subject of which you were speaking, and that's not going to be part of any splashy expose following up the latest Anna Nicole Smith news on any of the channels anytime soon here in the U.S. I want to back us up for just a minute, if I could, John. You talked about, you know, and I don't know what how much truth there is in it, but I heard somewhere along the way that back before the Air America bankruptcy, that it was costing them $85,000 a day.
Yeah, and go ahead.
So you know that. So yeah, one day of Air America, you know, as compared to us. Now but I want to put this in a little bit of perspective, if I could, please. Whenever you hear anyone talking about business, or you know, can liberals do business? What a stupid question that is. but you hear it. You hear it done in terms, John, of. Well, you know, the left can't compete in the marketplace of ideas because nobody wants to listen. Well, I've got data to the contrary here, and you've seen it too. There are lots of people who want this kind of programming. Now, the question is, I think, and this is where the whole idea of the Horn began to take shape is, can we compete with the right wing using the right wing's business model? And the answer to that question is no, emphatically no.
Absolutely. And you and I had a conversation, and I mentioned this on my show when I was covering a story about Walmart's non-organic organic food. And you and I had a conversation, it's got to be over a year ago, and we were talking about financial backing. And you threw a hypothetical at me. You said, okay, man, you're going to do this green issue show, and Walmart rings you up and says, hey, man, we like what you're doing. We've got this new organic food line, blah, 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 blah. We'd like to give you $100,000 to sponsor your show. And you said, what do you do? And without hesitation, I said, I turn it down. And I think you were a little bit surprised at my reaction, but see, I was proved right.
Yeah, you were.
Because we, you know, we here at the Horn have listeners that actually kind of keep a real close eye on us and our and whether we stay true to what we say. And you know, I would not take a penny from Walmart because their corporate history is of, you know, not
filth.
Doing the right thing. Yeah, it's filth. It's absolute filth. So
this isn't about poking fun at it or poking a sharp stick, what the hell ever, at anybody. But you know, lo and behold, Walmart ads ran on Air America.
Yep.
You know, and what am I supposed to make? What am I supposed to make of it? I know what the model is for talk radio, and that is patent baldness remedies, herbal erection remedies, and Swedish mattresses and vacuum cleaners. All of which are fundamentally dishonest advertising, and I won't
Absolutely.
Be part of it.
Absolutely, and this is why I think we are at the you know, kind of at the very, very early stages of creating a whole new business model. And this is where, you know, I would like to see, just to use my own show as an example, I would take you know, a sponsorship, say, from treehugger.com. I would take sponsorship from the Australian Conservation Society. I would take sponsorship from the Department of Natural Resources in the United States, who actually is the government agency that looks after environmental issues.
You know, it's supposed to.
Or it's supposed to. But you know, I would consider going there. Now, And we have to be careful with this, and this is why you know okay, we got this one time donation from the Carpenters, which I still think is a great thing, because they're the only union so far to actually
stepped
put
up
some...
to the plate.
Absolutely.
Well, no, wait, John, let me back up a little bit. To be fair, there was another organized labor sponsor at once upon a time, but when they heard that what we were going to do was going to reach somebody outside West Virginia, they said, we're not interested.
I think
that's short-sighted, but you know, okay, so we move on, and we went to Washington and we banged on the door. Well, not banged on the doors. I mean, you know, it took a, got cleaned up and had a shower and you know, brushed the teeth and put on a suit and tied the tie right and went in and had a conversation with the PR person of the international headquarters of the AFL-CIO.
Right.
Now, that meeting was scheduled on a Thursday at 2 o'clock. And we were there Thursday at 1:30. And 2 o'clock came, and 2:15 came, and 2:30 came, and 2:45 came, and 3 o'clock came. And they said, you know, gosh, we're sorry. We scheduled this meeting with you a month ago. But, you know, we just can't do it. But as a courtesy, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. for 10 minutes.
Like you can put the plan out in 10 minutes. I mean, that's just to me.
And so what happened is we had the meeting with this person. I presented them with a basic overview of what we were doing, what we had done, and what we hoped to do. And was told, we're very sorry, But the AFL-CIO doesn't have any money for anything like what you're doing.
Excuse me while I choke on that.
And so I got back home because, you know, I do know how to do these things. I clean up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent an email thanking this person for the meeting. And I sent a two-page letter on very good paper thanking this person for the meeting. I have never heard from that person again to this day. Now, this is not by any means a blanket criticism of the organization. But what it is an attempt to point out, and you know, I'm telling this story, John. I know for a fact, based on conversations I have had, that Guy James has had these kind of conversations. I know that Mark Levine has had these kinds of conversations. And at that point, when you're talking about Wayne Rebich, Bob Kincaid, Mark Levine, and Guy James, all in separate circumstances, all striking out, it becomes almost statistically impossible to say that we all just suck.
Absolutely.
You know, or that we went in stinking of gin or something.
The fact of the matter is,
and what Susan said in her phone call a little bit ago becomes very important. The fact of the matter is, these people want media that is accessible to them. They holler for it. But they, at the end of the day, John, they do not understand it.
I think you're right.
And they want now, someone else to pay for it.
And see, this is where, you know, I mean, how much lobbying money does an outfit like the AFL-CIO utilize in Washington, D.C.? It's got to be in the millions.
Yes, absolutely. I tell you what, John, I'm not going to go to a commercial or a break or anything, but I am going to bring the founder of the Horn is with us. Wayne Rebich is not ashamed for you to know who he is, and I want to bring him on with the two of us. Wayne, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Sitting in the dark,
I might add.
Pardon?
Sitting in the dark. I don't know what happened. I don't know. 10 minutes ago or something, all the power went off. So I can't hear I can't hear the show. I can't get in the board. But
yeah,
the phone still works.
Well, you know, thank heaven for small favors.
Hey,
there.
You know, I mean.
Well, I assume that you've heard what we've been talking about while you were on hold.
Well, yeah, just, you know, not very much. I missed the first part of the show and stuff. I know something's going on, and
I just decided it was time to explain to folks the hows, the whys, and the wherefores of exactly what the Horn was.
Well, I don't know how much you got into it, but, you know, I think it's time that everybody knows how all this got started. And, you know, I don't know. You're going to have to remind me, 3 years ago that you were on NR?
That would be four.
Four, is it?
It'll be 4 years in May.
No wonder we're broke.
We've been making bricks without straw for four years,
time,
Wayne.
And I mean, the pharaohs would love us. But anyway, here's the story. I think everybody knows I'm a union representative, a union activist, I'm an activist. And my lovely wife was there 100%, buddy. I mean, she was on picket lines and the whole nine yards. I always had her full support. And I used to listen to talk radio. And I used to listen to Dr. Bill O'Brien. And I would get upset with Dr. Bill. And believe me, now, I love the man. And this is not anything bad, but I used to get mad at Dr. Bill because Dr. Bill wasn't mad enough. And, you know, he would kind of placate some people that I thought should just flat be told. So I was sitting in my office one day, and the phone rang, and it was my wife, Gina. And she said, "Are you listening to Dr. Bill?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, you got to turn it on, because it ain't Dr. Bill now. I don't know who this guy is." So I turned it on, and here's this guy, Bob Kincaid. And Bob Kincaid wasn't taking anything from anybody. I heard about right-wing wackos and crazy, you know, PNC people and, you know, the whole nine yards. And I said, man, this is what I want. I mean, no backing down, no placating everybody. We were going to tell the truth and tell the people how it is. So I came home, and Gina asked me, "Did you listen to that guy?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, you got to get him a show." I said, "What?" She said, "You got to get him a show. Somehow or another, you got to get him a show." So I approached my people, the ACT Foundation, the people that I work for, and I told them about this guy, and I said, "We ought to go up to that station and see if, you know, we can't spend a little bit of money and get this guy a show." Which, in fact, we did.
Yep.
And the Bob Kincaid and Head On Radio was born. And I don't know, what'd you last there, a year?
Hey, don't sell me short, man. I was there for a year and a half before they bought us off the air.
A year and a half. And we had a picket in front of a hospital supporting union nurses. And Bob Kincaid was on the picket line with us. Well, come to find out, this hospital spent a lot more money advertising on this radio station than we did. And so, consequently, Bob Kincaid no longer had a show. So we thought, well, you know, what are we going to do? In the meantime, my lovely wife passed away.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll be okay.
Yeah, I know. And her name was Regina Marie Rebich.
RMR.
It was an RMR.
So,
and it was because of her that all of this happened.
Exactly. And so after that, I decided that we got to get a figure out a way to get Bob back on the air. In honor of her.
This entire network is a memorial for Regina Rebich. It really is all for her.
Yeah, it is, you know, and she believes so much in this message and progressive democratic politics and doing right by people. And that we had to find a way to get our side out, because the right wing controls everything. And, you know, you experienced it firsthand. If they don't like the message, they simply get rid of you. So the Head On Radio Network was born. And, you know, in the, well, what? Over, like, going on?
Well, I mean,
wait.
You're selling yourself short. You're selling yourself short, Wayne. We put a studio in, and every single penny for every single thing that went into that studio came out of your pocket.
That it did. And I have no regrets about that whatsoever. And, you know, consequently...
And it was after that we were able to get an agreement by the carpenters...
Yes.
...to support us for 1 year... For $15,000.
Exactly. And that ran out in about 5 months, I think.
Well, yeah, that's true, too. Right?
Yeah. But we continued, and, you know, we are still, well, we're trying to get more funding and things like that, and, you know, and we're getting by. We're getting by. I don't know for how long that can last without some funding and stuff like that, but, you know. I mean, when we started, it was 3 hours a day. And, you know, in the time that we've been on, you know, people have come along and showed an interest, and we've, you know, discovered people, Guy James being one of them, and Joe and, you know, John and, you know, and a whole bunch of people, you know, John and that volunteer their time, that work for nothing. And, yeah, you know, I want everybody to know, you know, that we're not sitting on a pile of money. Bob Kincaid isn't being paid, well, he's not being paid anything. I mean, he's along with everybody else. Nobody gets paid anything. And, you know, I really hope to change that. I want to change that badly, and I believe at some point we will, you know. We're struggling, but we're getting by. And if it wasn't for all the great people and the hours of free time that, you know, these people have given to us, you know, John Fox and Peter and, God, I don't want to let anybody out. Of course, Agnes.
Gene, Susan, Ben.
Bruce. And, you know, what, there's even people that are, you know, helping us with blogs and monitoring the chat room and stuff that I'm not even aware of everybody, but I want them to all know how much I appreciate everything they do. And, you know, yeah, it's about the message. It's about the message. And, you know, if, like I say, I hope we could get some funding to carry what we're doing. I hope we get to a point where we have enough funding that we can at least pay people something, provide them with health care and maybe some kind of pension. And I believe that'll happen, you know. But I want everybody to know that, you know, at the end of the show, when you hear RMR, that's Regina Marie Rebich. That's the story.
Yeah.
And now we're here. And, you know, it's... And I appreciate, I mean, Guy James is everybody. Mark Levine, you know, the new kid on the block.
Jeff.
Jeff, everybody.
Dr. Bill.
Dr. Bill, you know, I would, I want, you know, I mean, one of my, I buy a, what do we call, Powerball ticket every Wednesday and
yeah, that's my that's my retirement plan, Wayne.
Well, exactly. You know, I'd love to walk into Dr. Bill's office and say, here, quit that damn college job. Here's the suitcase full of money. And, you know, have a bunch of money. Is John still there?
Yeah, he's still
there.
Oh,
yeah, man. I'm just sitting
you
back
know,
and
if I
listening
got all that money, we'd get your butt back to the States where you belong, man.
We're working on that, mate. We're working on that, but that's a whole other story. But I was
but
just
a
sitting
suitcase
back
full of money would help, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That would help. But hey, we've got some things in the works there, and more to come on that in the future. But as I'm listening to you tell the story, because you know, I came into this, you know, after kind of was all started, and you know, it was really, you know, Bob's show at first, him on the net, and then all via basically a chat room. Bob, Bruce, myself, and I got to remind everybody, you know, back in the early days of when we first started this as being more than just Bob's show, you know, there was Grace and Rama involved, and
yeah,
just due to technical stuff, they had to pull out, and you know, and Rama was just in the chat room today. You know, there have been all these people that have that believe in this thing that we're doing. You know, Susan and Gene, I mean, geez, you know, the what they've taken off of my shoulders alone with the blog. I can't even express how much I appreciate their what they do. And then, you know, Peter and everybody else. So it just proves
and let's not
that this means
Ben
something.
And Ben Burke.
Ben. We'd be dead in the water without Ben.
Yes.
You know, we would be paying for, you know, some ice cast stream with a maxed out of 50 listeners if that's what if that's all we could afford. But we have basically an unlimited listenership because of Ben, and you know, we've started actually using some of that bandwidth in earnest recently since the iTunes listing, which has turned out to be even bigger than I had thought it was going to be, and. You know, and I actually, you know, since the website is on my servers, And this is part of what I donate to the Horn is, since I do a little bit of a net business, I've cut off some of my bandwidth and whatnot and put that up for the Horn sites. And I get to see, almost daily where the word is getting out more and more, week by week, month by month. And, and our traffic just continues to go up and up and up and up and up. So, I mean, there is a market out there for what we are doing. And, sometimes I sit back and I'm just amazed at what we've pulled off with nothing but the support of our listeners, folks like you. I never knew your wife, but through Bob and Agnes, I feel in a way that I do. And you and I have had some great conversations, on the old show, Fourth Estate, about international unions and just the kind of gamut. And I can't even express my appreciation for no other term that I can find, but my love for what people like you will sacrifice just so that we can do this. And I do believe that the time is going to come that the switch is going to come, the switch is going to flip, and the money is going to start coming in. And it's not that we want to become rich. Yeah, well, it would be nice to have a bit of cash, but
yeah,
we want to be able to just survive and do this. We want to, it would be really nice if the hosts could concentrate just on their shows. It would be nice to have maybe a couple more producers so that Agnes isn't running herself stupid.
Exactly.
Every day, all day long. I mean, I'm amazed at what that woman does to keep us on air, And so, we all do what we can, and there becomes a limit to what one can do. So we've actually had to say we can't really do any more programming. That's why the only reason we could really take on Jeff Allen Wolf is because he self-produces. And, that will hopefully change in time. But, it really astounds me at what we have pulled off so far. And one of the things that I think was an interesting thing that came up in the chat earlier was, I believe it was Cossack brought up David Geffen, right, who at one time
yeah.
threw a whole lot of money at the Clintons and whatnot, and he's now really, really done an about face on them, and I kind of have to give him credit. But I think, and I'm making a call out to the listeners, okay, folks? All of you, find his email address. Let him know about us, because, David Geffen comes from my old industry, and David Geffen is one of the only...
David Geffen could write a check that would keep this network on the air for 10 years and provide a living to the hosts.
Oh, I know. And never feel it, John. Oh, I know. Well, and the reason why I think that, maybe we have to go to people like Geffen and some other people like that. Just a little bit of history of what I know of David Geffen through, he's owned many labels throughout the years.
Sure.
And he is a guy who's driven by his love of music, and he has created a label, signed bands, and once it gets so big that he's no longer going to clubs and signing bands anymore, he sells the label and starts a new one. Starts from scratch.
Hey, we got a label for him.
Yeah, well, we got again. See, it's like I said early on when I was sort of losing my mind at the beginning of the program. Yeah, you drop a bunch of money in my lap, the first thing I do is hire a publicist, because these people have to know we exist.
Bingo.
Exactly.
And it's David Geffen. It's Ted Turner. My God, the man's a media genius. And again, any of these people run their ads, whatever, their philanthropies, and they would never feel what it takes to run this thing. But at the bottom of that, John, beyond the personalities involved, at the bottom of that is the idea that we can either sit around and carp and gripe and complain as liberals about how, the corporations have the media sewn up and, we can't get our message out, or we can look to what's going on here and realize that the medium has been built. I'm far more excited about what goes on the internet than most people. You know, I don't want to be a footnote and be the visionary that, you know, I don't want to be the starving artist who, you know, died, you know, dropped dead before, you know, anything could be. No, I don't want to be that. But 10 years from now, the internet is going to be the broadcast medium, period.
That it is.
And actually, on that thought, you know, one of the things that I think, and this has to do with legislation in the United States, you know, that internet services in general, especially when it comes to cell phones, are completely limited in the United States. Here in Australia, if I was on a third generation cell network, I'd be able to ride around in my car with my cell phone streaming the horn straight into my car stereo.
It's like that in much of Europe, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's too much over legislation on trying to protect the big communications outfits in the States. I don't know why they won't grasp onto this, because, you know, I mean, we've had third generation cellular here in Australia for like 2 years now. And I don't know why there is such limitation in the United States, but this is one of those things that when that opens up, right, I think the idea of mobile internet radio tuners is going to happen, where we will be just as viable and as accessible as a terrestrial radio network.
The boxes already exist, John. You can buy them at Best Buy. They're pricey yet. But you know, we've got our over the road truck driving friend who listens on his card that he slides into his laptop. All of this is all of this is the cutting edge, and you know, like I said, we exist on the cutting edge, and sometimes we get sliced.
That's when it's
well,
the razor
we do, and that's one of the problems is that. You know, and Bob, you've been with us. We've been in D.C. We've been, you know, and, you know, we need visionaries. We need people that, you know, can see what we've started and what is going to happen. And,
well,
and
I told the story, Wayne, of the PR lady at the AFL-CIO.
Right.
And that was an incredibly frustrating experience.
Yes, it was.
The meeting was planned, scheduled, 30 days, 45 days in advance, and we went up there and got stiffed.
Yeah. And we looked pretty, too, Bob.
You're damn right we look pretty.
With our suits and ties, and I mean, like, really serious.
Shirt tucked in, shoes shined, smelling like belligerent roses.
Exactly. I don't know.
So
it'll happen.
So if I come back to the States, you guys aren't going to tell me that I got to go and cut my hair for all this, do you?
No, we're going to buy you a ball cap. Or one of those, you know, knitted Rastafarian hats or something.
Well, you know, I mean, I do a good job at the tieback, but anyway, that's silly stuff. Let's get back to the real thing.
Well, the real thing is that it was obvious in the sort of consolation meeting that we got the next day. These people don't have a clue. Don't have a clue.
No. And, I mean, you know, we thought, remember, well, we were with Mark Levine and, you know, talk to Sweeney and, oh, give me your number. I'll have somebody contact you. And, oh, my God, you know, I thought, well, we're really on a roll, man. We got it here. And then we end up talking to a woman that doesn't even have a budget.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, what can, you know, what, you know, like I said, you know, what can listeners do? You've got a congressman.
Exactly. They got senators.
You know, and you've got senators. Yep. And they hear from you all the time about stop the genocide in Darfur. And they hear from you about stopping the war, and they hear from you about impeaching Bush. You know, maybe these guys would like to, and women would like to actually know that a liberal medium is being built, has been built, functions, exists.
No,
and that we and that we would rather eat a handful of crap than bring a right winger on and share their views, because they don't have any, and we're sick of them. They're idiots. They've had their say.
And they have enough infrastructure, Bob. See, this is where, you know, you were talking about before that, you know, they make their claims that, you know, we just, you know, we can't make it viable, this, that, or the other thing. And I really, you know, and this is not being a whiny, I'm the down and trodden type comment, but when you end up taking some sort of, you know, any of the right-wing hacks, and you sign them to Clear Channel, instantaneously, they have access to listenership on a grand scale. So it's so much easier to end up getting the advertising revenue. It is so much easier to get the word out that you're there. And in this situation, we are building it from the ground up with nobody's help. We're not Rush Limbaugh, whose daddy worked in radio and got him the gig, right? We are just folks that feel the need to do this. It's the same drive that I felt when I was a struggling musician with every band I ever had out there, you know, making handmade posters, going out there handing out free tickets on the street to the gigs, the whole thing. It's the same exact energy.
That's
as far as I'm concerned, you know. And so, you know, we are kind of, you know, beating against the wall a little bit, but I think at some point that wall's got to fall down, because, you know, you just look at the ratings for folks like Fox News and whatnot, they're going down because people are sick of it. And,
yeah, but by the same token, I think the genre on the right is failing as well, John, because I happened to be out this morning and tuned in, and lo and behold, there was Glenn Dreck. And you know what he was babbling about?
What?
He wasn't supporting any right-wing issues. He was talking about American Idol.
Oh, my God.
The right wing's come unglued. That, you know, that all of their propaganda has fallen apart. And the only and see, I'm one of these people that believes when the other side is in retreat, you don't stand there and politely wave goodbye now. Goodbye. You run them to the ground.
Yep.
And you make sure that they are never a threat again.
You make it a gang tackle in football.
Yeah. And so that, you know, this is the opportunity to strike. You know, will these people with their millions figure it out? Will they support Inova M? Will they support Head On? Yeah, the purchase of Air America was just recently completed. Will they figure it out?
That's a really good question, because I actually, you know, there's only really two programs remaining on that network that I actually tune into, and they're both weekend shows, and one of them is Ring of Fire, and I kind of listen to them, one just because I have a lot of respect for Papantonio and Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah.
And a couple weeks ago they had one of the new owners on for an interview, and I got the impression, and you know, again, you never know if this is lip service or not, but Bobby Kennedy, you know, he'll bring on people that he knows. He'll announce his relationships with people as he brings them on, because, I mean, obviously this is a really, really well-connected guy. But this guy was talking about the vision of, you know, progressive media. And, you know, I actually, you know, even though I think Air America has blown it from where they started, with the firing of Malloy, with the killing of Morning Sedition, and I don't want to harp on their programming too much, but I actually want them to succeed, because this is one of these things. I do not want the left to go beating each other up, because I think that defeats the purpose. I think the only way, and this is one of the things that I appreciate about the relationship that we have with Nova M, that even though you get down to the nuts and bolts of it, yeah, we're kind of in competition with one another, but we don't go after one another, because we have a shared mission involved, which is getting out the other side of the discussion.
Well, it's that analogy that I used a long time ago, John, about the small town with one restaurant and the small town with two restaurants.
Oh, yeah. That was a brilliant bit of writing, and it's the truth. It's the absolute truth, you know. And I can relate that to the music industry here in Australia. We're down to Sony, and so there's no sense of competition for them to create anything good. So they release a whole bunch of crap, and their numbers are down because they're releasing crap.
And if they had some competition, that would change. It would happen.
Yep. And they're only.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go, Wayne.
I just said, and if they had some competition, that would change.
Sure, it would. And how?
In order for them to remain viable, they would have to change.
And how interesting that these free marketeers, these full-on laissez-faire capitalists, are all for competition and all for the free market, and yet,
Except when it comes to media.
Where media is concerned, no, monopoly is the best way to go. So, you know, more hypocrisy. So, you know, folks can write to their congressmen, they can write to their senators. If they belong to a labor union, they can ask their union. They can go. You know, there's meetings every week or two, aren't there, Wayne? Of a local
union people are the most meetingest people you ever want to see in your life.
So you stand up at your local meeting and you say, "Hey, we need to let the district and we need to let the international know that these people exist and they need, you know, and that we're the ones that need to be supporting it."
Yes, we are, you know. And, I mean, you know, we've talked about it before. The Employees' Free Choice Act. You want to promote the Employees' Free Choice Act, sponsor the horn, you know.
Well, exactly. And, you know, you mentioned that, Wayne, and it brings up, I was, again, out and about in the car, heard, and you want to know how the right wing is responding to the Employee Free Choice Act?
Tell me.
I heard a guy the other night on Lars Larson, and he had a guy on, a Republican congressman from Georgia, who was explaining that the Employee Free Choice Act was terrible because it would take the secret ballot away from working Americans.
Right. You're going to hear a lot, you know. I mean, the chamber is coming out, the National Manufacturers Association, and you know, I got news for you know that argument. Cards are secret. When you sign a union card saying that you wish to be represented by the union, those are secret. You know, all people are ever told is we have 30%, not who, but 30%.
And, right, you know, and of course, this guy said, "Oh no, they'll have to like hold their hands up and vote for the union, and then, well, you know how unions are. If somebody votes against them, they'll probably get their kneecaps broken."
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, the unions
are. I hate these people.
Intimidators now. You know, it's it's the same thing they always do. You know, they accuse us of doing what they do. We'll have a bunch of union thugs intimidating people, you know. Well, who's more intimidating than corporations that, you know, tell you that if you join a union, they'll close the plant, that if you join the union, you're going to get fired, that, you know.
That's pretty intimidating.
That's very intimidating, and that's why, the latest AFL-CIO survey is 70 million people would join a union if they didn't fear losing their job.
Wow.
And the corporations have become very good at intimidating people into thinking that.
And the corporations can't move all the jobs to Kuala Lumpur because that would mean that Americans couldn't buy their junk anymore.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And you know we are in serious trouble in this country. I mean, you know, people. They try to play over this 500-point drop in the market. You know, there are some very serious things coming to this country. You know, yeah. our economy is falling apart. You know, you talk about a bubble. I mean, this stock market's a joke. We're losing our auto industry, all our tool and die industry, our steel mills. Where did all that stuff go? You know, it's not here anymore. And
ha ha ha, America. Yeah,
exactly.
I remember that film
That's
strip
exactly
very well.
Right.
And the thing that bears remembering, you know, one of the other things that we've talked a lot about, Wayne, John, is making the horn a specific vehicle for reaching into the American South.
Yes, it should be.
Because I'm sitting here right now in the belly of the beast.
Yes, you are.
And I can tell you that if you say the word union down here, you get things like, well, you know, people don't need unions no more.
Right.
Oh, yeah, right, Sparky. That's why that dude from Oaxaca State is doing your job now. Because you didn't need no union.
Well, janitors in Houston found out different.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I don't think the South is as red as everybody thinks. You know, a couple of swings one way or another, a couple of votes one way or another, it could become blue. And I think, you know, working people are, I believe working people are waking up, and it's the hope for America. It's
yeah, and we just want to work. Yeah, working people are waking up, and the horn just wants to deliver the coffee.
There you go.
Hey, Wayne, we're at the top of the hour, man. Thanks for everything.
Well, I'm glad you told me what time it is. I can't tell here.
Yeah, because you're sitting in the dark talking on the phone.
So, all right, pal. John.
All right, we're good.
Good talk.
I'll send you a wind-up clock, man.
Okay, that'd be good.
Hopefully
the power's going to come back on, Bob.
Well, you know, if Appalachian Power can get a rate increase, I'm sure it will.
I don't know what happened. Some idiot probably ran into a telephone pole or something.
Is it snowing?
No. No, it's nice, you know. Maybe they were drinking or something.
Yeah, a guy getting an early start on the weekend.
Yeah, I knew a guy that was kind of hell on them telephone poles in his younger days. They seem to attract drunks. I don't know. Must be something. But
it's in the water. Hell no, it's in the beer.
Yes, there you go. It's good talking to you guys, and I'll be talking to you again soon.
All right, thanks a lot, Wayne.
Okay, man.
Thanks, Wayne.
Bye-bye.
Hey, John, any last words, brother?
You know, we just got to keep getting the word out, and maybe this is just, you know, a call out to our amazingly devoted listeners to, you know, spend a little bit more time, as I've said to people, blog Whore the Horn. Wherever you post to forums, blogs, whatever, stick a link to the horn in your post. Add it to the signature of your email. Get the word out. Do whatever you can, because we want to be here. We want to continue to be able to do this. And I'm gonna let you get to this break. But man, I'm so glad that we did this. And you know, and I always love, you know, sharing some airtime with you, because we always have a really good time.
It is a blast. I don't know. Maybe one of these days. Maybe over the course of some brainstorming, we need to do some tag team stuff. Maybe once a week or something. Because this is an awful lot of fun, John.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Have a great last hour of the show, and I'll see you in the main chat room.
All right. Take it easy.
All right, man.
Our good buddy John Fox down there in Sydney, Australia. Like I said, this guy's a pro, and he's amazing. If you can imagine trying to engineer a radio studio over a webcam, that's how good he is. No, your other left, yeah. Okay, so jump in. You want to talk? I got. Hey, look, we're not just killing time. I got a couple of dandies here, and I know I'm supposed to be angry at people like John Edwards for not being ideologically pure enough, but kind of proud of him for something he's done recently. I hope he sticks to his guns. We'll talk about it when we come back. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The Quality News Network. In South Brazil, protesters and violence greeted President Bush on the first leg of his Latin American tour. Police fired tear gas and clubbed demonstrators who got out of hand. 6,000 reportedly took to the streets protesting U.S. and the Iraq war. The president is making the five-country tour to improve relations. In Washington, House Democrats made clear their opposition to the war today. They unveiled new legislation requiring all U.S. combat troops be out of Iraq by the fall of next year. They say the president's war strategy in Iraq has failed. America's top general in that country says military might is not the absolute solution to the war. General David Petraeus says the Iraqi government has to address the insurgency through political and diplomatic means, eventually even including some militant groups in the process. Defense Secretary Robert Gates announced the troop surge underway in Iraq will require an additional 2,200 military police. At least a dozen U.S. troops been killed in Iraq this week. Responding to recent revelations of shoddy health care for wounded veterans, House leaders propose adding an additional $1.7 billion to the Iraq War Appropriation Bill. Those funds will go to medical care and rehabilitation for troops. In Phoenix, a former U.S. Navy sailor has been arrested on spying charges. Hassan Abu Jahad allegedly provided a London-based group with information on troop movements and other classified material. In Mogadishu, at least 12 people were killed today in clashes between African Union troops and Islamic rebels. Thousands of civilians have reportedly fled their homes in eastern Sri Lanka due to heavy fighting between government troops and Tamil Tiger rebels. The U.S. Coast Guard is staging a huge exercise in Florida in preparation for possible mass exodus from Cuba when Fidel Castro dies. And U.S. border officials say attacks against Border Patrol agents increased 10% last year from the year before. Officials say tighter security on the U.S.-Mexican border is frustrating those trying to cross illegally or traffic in drugs. That's prompting them to use tougher weapons against patrolling agents. Today, National Women's Day, commemorations and conciliatory gestures are taking place around the world. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friend's relatives sent you a DVD from another country, and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplication.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
For the first time, the death of a Laotian has been confirmed as the result of the avian flu. Worldwide, at least 160 people have been killed by the bird flu, most in Asia. A Scripps Institute of Oceanography study finds blue whales sing in 9 distinct dialects. It depends on where they live. Internet phone provider Vonage has been ordered to pay $58 million to Verizon Communications for patent infringement. A federal jury made the ruling today. Boeing announced it will begin assembly of its first 787 Dreamliner passenger jet within the next 3 months. Boeing has already taken 464 orders for the fuel-efficient medium-sized jet. And government regulators in the U.S. and Canada have approved the first joint NAFTA product label. Now farmers will be able to buy commercial herbicides cheaper in Canada. And after many decades of struggle to do so, Communist China has unveiled a landmark law that will boost the protection of private property rights. Chinese lawmakers are saying that the country's economic and social changes made the proposed legislation necessary. Light sweet crude is trading at $61.64 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was up 68 points at 12,260. The NASDAQ was up 13. The S&P was up 10. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Noel Crisson.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
As ever, your thoughts on this topic or any topic are welcome as we roll toward the end of tonight's program. If I got the clock right, this is hour three. Okay. Because I screwed it all up last night. I've got a couple of things here that bear mentioning because I haven't heard them anywhere else. Got this email. It said, PETA, you know, people eating tasty animals, people for the ethical treatment of animals, PETA to Labor Secretary, our Kentucky Fried Cruelty campaign is not a front for organized labor. And I got this directly from the PETA campaign's media coordinator. This comes to me from Cassandra Cusack Curbelo, and she says, in response to a whistleblower tip, PETA has fired off a letter to U.S. Secretary of Labor Elaine Chao, informing her that PETA's campaign against the worst abuses of the more than 850 million chickens raised and killed for KFC's restaurants every year is not a front for pro-labor groups trying to pass legislation. PETA's letter comes after Chao reportedly alleged that PETA's International Kentucky Fried Cruelty campaign is aimed at helping labor organizations pass bills like H.R. 800, known as the card check bill, that would facilitate efforts to unionize workers. Chao apparently made that remark while she was speaking at one of Grover Norquist's Leave Us Alone meetings. PETA assures Chao that the four-year campaign, which has included more than 12,000 protests around the world, has nothing to do with organized labor and everything to do with the crippling diseases, broken bones, and scalding deaths of millions of chickens. PETA invites Chao to join other high-profile PETA supporters and lend her voice to the fight against KFC's cruelty. Quote, despite Secretary Chao's unfounded accusation, we would warmly welcome her support in our campaign to stop KFC's worst abuses, says PETA Vice President Bruce Friedrich. Now, this is the letter to, God, how can you even make this come out of a printer? The Honorable Elaine Chao. Dear Ms. Chao, I'm writing on behalf of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, and our more than 1.6 million members and supporters worldwide regarding reports that you recently made statements alleging that our Kentucky Fried Cruelty campaign may be a front for labor organizations trying to pass legislation such as H.R. 800. This is not true. PETA and those who support our campaign, including Sir Paul McCartney, Pamela Anderson, Alice Walker, Dr. Cornel West, and His Holiness the Dalai Lama, have spoken out against KFC with the sole aim of getting their company to eliminate the worst abuses suffered by the 850 million chickens slaughtered every year for its restaurants.
I am reminded of a passage in Henry the Fifth, where the full of pomp and circumstance Dauphin is stomping around the tent talking about all the English he will kill on the morrow at Agincourt. And at one point he looks to, oh, I guess he's the Marshal of France or whatever. He's, have you seen my horse? Oh, what a horse I have. Oh, this horse will run from morning until night. Oh, truly it is it's the finest horse in all of France. And finally, with absolute contempt, because the Dauphin is a horse's ass, the Marshal looks at him and says, yes, yes, it is a most excellent horse. These are some pitiful chickens. Every now and then, PETA does some good work. But PETA, this tells me that they don't know what they don't know what world they live in. We're enclosing a DVD narrated by actor Pamela Anderson and the Reverend Al Sharpton that details our concerns. We hope that you will review the video. As a representative of the American people, 96% of whom believe that farmed animals should have basic protections from abuse, please add your name to our growing list of supporters by writing a letter to David Novak, CEO of KFC's parent company, Yum Brands, and asking him to adopt the recommendations of PETA and KFC's own advisors. Thank you in advance. I look forward to hearing from you, Mrs. Chow. You can reach me at 757-962-8264. Sincerely, Matt Prescott, Manager of Factory Farming Campaigns. What a pathetic bunch of dumbasses. I mean, what a bunch of unmitigated booby heads. Now, I'm sorry if that pisses off the PETA people out there. But you know what? You want to protect the damn chickens? Then PETA would be well advised to get busy on H.R. 800, the Employee Free Choice Act. You want to know why that miserable crap goes on inside those chicken slaughterhouses, those stinking, rotten, filthy, disgusting the abattoirs of animal cruelty? You want to know why it goes on, Cassandra Cusack Curbelo? You want to know why, honey? Because the workers there don't get treated any damn better than the chickens. We're not a front group for organized labor. Jesus Christ, we don't care what happens to a working person. We're worried about the chickens. You know, there's stuff that matters, and there's stuff we can save for a later day. So if you believe in the dignity of working Americans, working men and women, and if somewhere along the way you've thrown a buck or two to PETA, please understand that PETA does not give a tinker's damn about working people. They have said it themselves. PETA assures Chow that the campaign has nothing, nothing to do with organized labor. I stay the hell out of KFC. And you know what? I am absolutely comfortable staying the hell away from PETA, too. We would warmly welcome her support. Lady, Elaine Chao would slit your throat in the middle of the night like one of your chickens if she got a chance. Do you understand that? Elaine Chao despises everything that does not add to her net worth. or does not somehow amount to helping out her masters in corporate America and corporate outside of America. Despite Secretary Chao's unfounded accusation, lady, if Elaine Chao thinks that you stand with working people, that's a compliment coming from scum like her. I mean, after all, this is the wife of Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell, and they go home every evening, and across the dinner table, they look up, how was your day today, honey? Oh, it was wonderful, honey. I screwed several million working people. Gonna filibuster that Employee Free Choice Act. Working people getting all uppity, thinking they got a right to freedom of association like it was in the First Amendment or something. We've got enough problems. And now it appears that PETA is not part of the solution. They are indeed part of the problem. Because, wait, now, work with me here, work with me. You see, if people who work in hellish conditions like the kill factory down in Tar Heel, North Carolina for Smithfield Meats, or who work in the kill houses of the chicken farms, if those people have adequate humane representation for themselves, then they're far less likely to engage in cruelty to the animals with which they are dealing. In fact, they might be an active part in trying to prevent that cruelty. But at the end of the day, if the animal cruelty issue goes away, PETA has to go away. We have our own problems on the left, and PETA is one of those problems. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Your phone calls, why do I keep saying this? They're welcome. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn.
Teacher, teacher, did you not behave? Did you teach the children war is not okay? Why are you packing up your stuff? Did they ship you out to shut you up? What's happening here? Soldier, soldier, did you lose a limb? Based on a rich man's will, where are all your benefits? Did they fund the tax cuts for the rich? What's happening here?
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
You can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. 21 and a half minutes after the hour, and we go to the phones. David calls from Tennessee. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, Bob.
How the heck are you?
I'm quite well. Let's just a few odd details. Lordy, PETA, you know, it's a wonderful thing to care about animals, but until several million underprivileged minority and majority race kids have books with all the pages in them and a breakfast in the morning before they start school, I could care less how a chicken meets its end. So PETA, just, you know, take a number, go to the back of the line. And as for Ms. Chow, God bless her, you know, bless her heart, poor thing, at the end of every day she has to spend time under Mitch McConnell. So she's had life's own breath pushed
my
out.
Eyes!
Her brain is short on oxygen. She's got an excuse. But, now then, let's get back to the really important part of tonight. Tonight's confessional night. And I want all the listeners, to really understand something. It's a very fortunate thing in my life that I knew Bob before he hit the radio. Bob's family has been in my home. I have been in Bob's home. I've been across the table from Wayne and enjoyed great conversation. Well, that and a few beverages. And I want everybody to understand that there is this phrase running around, and it may be in front of TV or it may be in front of broadcasting. There is this overused, beaten up word, reality. You hear the phrase reality TV. Well, it isn't. But tonight, dear friend, and I'm serious as a heart attack, you have never heard anything more unvarnished, straight from the heart, and real, and just as it is lived by all those that spoke before me than you've heard tonight. You'll go a long, long time. You can live a long life and never top this for depth of feeling and veracity and what can matter in someone's life. And I want everybody to hear me say that. And if you think I'm kidding around, just sign off now, because I'm not.
No. And it's, you know, it's you've been up for two chili fests in Beckley.
You bet I have. I met the guy that fired your ass.
You met the guy that fired me. That's darn right.
And he's a weasel. And he couldn't cook chili that dogs would eat. That's why he imported you. He's a geek. He's a right-wing shill. He is total crap. He shouldn't be allowed to carry your RCA plug. How dated is that reference?
Oh, but there's a bunch of people out there that'll get it, David.
I hope.
But,
well, anyway, the show grows short. I just wanted to check in and do a little amen, brother, and let everybody know that what you folks are hearing is extremely, intensely rare in any kind of broadcasting anywhere in the world. This is you're listening to life. You are listening to life. It's flowing right out in front of you. It's vibrant and it's healthy and it's wonderful, and you've got a chance to jump in and be part of it. So, that said, let's let somebody else have some laughs. Bob, I appreciate the chance.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much.
Talk to you later.
All right. David is, among other things, the photographer for the Horn and a frequent musical contributor to the program. And, frankly, confessional night, I have begged David to do a music show on the Horn. I've done everything but offer him money, because I can't do that. At any rate, let's roll along and go to our good friend Bob in North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
I have to turn this on for my dear Glenda, yeah?
Okay.
And I'm going to step out of the room. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hey. As dear as Agnes is to you, as dear as any man's wife is to them, she offered up the most poignant phrase that could ever be uttered from a human being tonight. She said, "We live in the age of..." Okay, I gotta go get the piece of paper she wrote it on. I just have to go to the kitchen. I'll be right back. She needs to hear it. She said, "I want to hear it on the air." Okay.
Yep. Well, you know that we can do that. And that, you know, that's part of what makes what, at least I think, what makes what happened.
Hey, Bob, I got the paper. I got it.
Man, that was fast.
I'm here. Okay.
Okay.
We live in the age of a moronic insurrection. The morons are insurrecting. I mean, you got them on both sides of the fence. You got Osama bin moronic, and you got George W. moronic, and you got Herbert Walker moronic, and you got the whole moronic bunch of them out there. And she nailed the pig in the coffin. These are morons. They don't have one brain Ingram between the bunch of them.
And as the adjunct to
that, live in the age of moronic insurrection. Bob,
that's good.
Moronic,
that's good.
Insurrection. No, it's a fact, Bob. It's not good. It's horrible for the world, for the earth, for those wonderful human beings that we're destroying. That young man, that John Fox. I wanted to thank him. I want to thank you, John Fox, for telling the truth and bringing that young man on the air and telling... I told Agnes, I said, "Good God, he was talking my nightmares that I live every night from Vietnam in 1967 and 68. Okay?
Yeah.
He was talking the truth of what's going on in Iraq and what's going on in Iran, okay? Well, it will go on in Iran, but, I mean, you know, you're talking about, Afghanistan. It's going on there every day, too. But nobody talks about the other war, Afghanistan, or, you know, and you got these morons running the house, and you got a bunch of morons running around saying, well, you got to support troops. Well, get that damn yellow sticker off your trunk and bring them home. Please. Bring them home. Then you will be supporting the troops. And people of the earth, don't be morons. And I know you're not one. I listen to, oh my God, Wayne and RMR. Yes. Yes. RMR. So, my dear friend, I'll sign off of that one. And I hope you got another caller on the line, because
I've got a couple of them backed up, Bob.
All right, go get them and give them my love, because I know they're good people. And thank you, Bob.
Okay. All right, thank you, Bob.
Good night.
Good night. We'll take a quick break. It's half past the hour. We'll come back. Quick thing I want to share with you, and then back to your phone calls. This is the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made, no sweat. Great prices, no sweat. Great looks, no sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner, do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email.
Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
All right, 24 minutes before the hour, we'll head downhill toward, or uphill. We'll just sort of head on in toward the end of tonight's program, and we'll finish it up with your phone calls. Let's go to the phones. Peter joins us from Tallahassee, Florida. Hey, Peter, welcome.
Thank you, Bob, and I promise I'm only going to take just 2 minutes at the most. There's something I wanted to share with you. You know, you're talking earlier about how important it is for unions to get the word out about what they do and what they really mean, and I'm calling to underscore that. In fact, I tried to call a couple of nights ago about this subject, but the lines were full, and you know, and I didn't want to take time away from the other callers, but I just thought it was important to slip it in tonight. You know, growing up in the South, I don't know anything about unions, and didn't know anything about unions until I started hearing about it on the Head On Radio Network. And the reason I called the other night, the inspectors at the airports were talking about unionizing, and all the Republicans were coming out saying, we don't want our airport security held hostage by the unions. And do you know, a couple of years ago, before I started listening to you and understanding what a union was, I would have believed that. And I can guarantee you that everybody down south believes that, because we don't know what unions are. They're just not here. And truly, the word needs to get out. And these guys with the big checkbooks, I mean, it just really boiled me when you said that guy was saying, oh, well, if it's going outside of West Virginia, we're not interested. That just, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. The word has got to get out, and the horn has made a huge difference in my understanding of unions. It really has. That's the honest to God's truth. There you go.
Peter, you're telling the truth. Down here, you know, this is the South, the American South, and I guess we could do the sociological evolution of why it is this way, but the American South is an absolute right to work hell.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're a Southerner, I'm a born Southerner. I love this region. This region just sometimes it fills my heart with pride, and sometimes it just rips my beating heart out of my chest and just stomps it into a greasy spot before my very eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where unions are concerned, it's the latter. Because for approximately 400 years or so, there's been an ongoing attempt by the people with the money to tell the people who don't have any money that their problem isn't, that their problem is someone else. You know, it's the black. You tell the poor whites that it's the poor blacks. You tell the poor blacks that it's, that it's their fault for being black. But it's always fault based.
Mm-hmm. Fault based. Every bit of it.
And then they come along and they introduce right to work, which is right to starve, which is right to work for less. And what happens is the people who had decent jobs lose them. Because it turns employment into a filthy little race, a downward bidding war, where whoever will work for the least amount of money with no protections on the job whatsoever winds up being the person who gets to do the slave labor.
Yes, and the only way to turn the understanding of unions around in the South is by long conversation, which is exactly what the horn is, and it fits it to a T. Nobody's going to get it on sound clips, and all of a sudden the commercials would be great. We need the commercials, but the to get the concept across, it has to be a long conversation. It's taken me, you know, a couple of years to fully get it about unions. And I'm that's becoming one of my major issues. And
this is the Deep South. It takes a long conversation to say, how are you doing?
Yes, it certainly does. It certainly does.
How are you? Well, you know, my bursitis was acting up, but it seems to have let up some, and for that I'm grateful to the grace of Almighty God, but you never know when it's going to come back. How are you?
Yeah.
And I'm not making fun of anybody. That's how it is. And there's parts of it that's charming.
Those of us with the real wit have abbreviated that. You know, how are you? We just go, I just want to dance. What that basically means is, I can't take it anymore. Just want to dance. Just don't bother me. That's, you know, you can shorten it. But people in the South don't do that. They don't abbreviate. It's got to be a conversation. I'm so proud of you, Bob, and what you do. I love you to pieces.
Well, you're another one of those people, Peter, that none of this would happen without.
Oh, I'm just a mean old guy. Don't worry.
No. I guess we're kind of having our little confessional night. I don't know how many hours have we spent on the phone together trying to make sure that some recalcitrant computer finds its way back to the flock.
Bob, there was one time when you and I literally did not hang up, I think, for about 12 hours.
Yeah. I mean, I've learned to build computers under your tutelage.
You know, that was...
I never even wanted to build computers.
I think we were both getting cranky, but then I know I was. I'm old and mean anyway.
But the
chief thanks goes to you because you put the hours in with all of us. I mean, I put in my little part, but you've got to spend another 12 hours with John and another 12 hours trying to raise money and finding a suit and on and on and on and on. You guys are the real heroes. We're just, you know, just stagehands. And God bless you, man.
Well, thank you, Peter.
Yes, sir. Hugs. And I'm going to get out of the way. But, yes, union!
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I'll see you later, buddy.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
And we go on to our good friend Gerard calling in from Indiana. Hey, Gerard, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to bring out a little news tidbit and then kind of tie it around, bring it back around and tie it around to kind of the theme you guys have been talking about tonight. Wondered if you saw this thing about all the FEMA trailers that are sitting empty that nobody's getting used out of.
Yeah, they're rotting, aren't they?
Yeah, and I was just noticing it today on the Washington Post website. And I don't know. It's just a travesty. I'm beside myself. I can't believe, you know. And one of the things, you know, that's connected with the horn as far as the mission to Mississippi. You know, when I hear people and I hear Sarge and talk, you know, people in the chat room and stuff. I just can't believe this is happening. I'm looking at a photograph of it right now. Thousands of them.
Yeah, row on row on row on row of these things.
And, you know, I live, kind of a ironic thing. I live about half a mile from a plant where they make the Humvees that are going to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And in the town next to where I live is a place where they build. It's a center for building of RVs. And when Katrina happened, of course, that was a windfall for all the companies out here. A lot of people, you know, workers got a lot of overtime, and of course, they had these big orders from the government. And it just so happens that on every day where the route that I take to drive to work, I drive by a railroad yard. And at that time when Katrina happened, I don't know if you can just, they have like a holding lot. If you can just imagine like a big Walmart parking lot, only probably about twice as big as that. And, you know, I could get the news reports of it every day of what was happening, and, you know, finally the government was going to do something, and FEMA was involved, and you know, these orders are coming in for these trailers, and they're building them, you know, they're running three shifts a day and hiring people back and calling people back all off of layoffs to build these trailers. And these things are sitting in this lot in the railroad yard, and they're sitting there, and they're sitting there, and they're sitting there. And I can tell they're sitting there because they go by it every day, and nothing's changed. They're, you know, once in a while I see a few of them loaded on a flat car, or I would see them around town where they would load them on trailers, and I could see they were going out of town, but they would sit there for weeks on end. Nowadays, when I go by that same lot, it's pretty much empty, except for I can see where they're loading on the Humvees, the desert brown Humvees that are going to Iraq. And I tell you what, those things don't sit there. They continue to be loaded, and I can tell there's usually a few of them parked there, probably that day's production, but, you know, they don't sit around like the FEMA trailers.
And because among other things, Gerard, we heard today from we got really conflicting information from General David Petraeus. You know, he's the head man in Iraq now.
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, he said that he no longer believes the solution in Iraq can be exclusively military.
Yeah.
On the other hand, he also says that we could be there for years and years and years and years more.
Mm-hmm.
And you couple that with information coming out the present escalation might not be enough, they're now saying. I honest to God, I wish the Democratic Party, Gerard, understood well and truly that some of this has nothing to do with Iraq, that some of this is about making sure that this war gets handed off to a Democrat to lose?
Well, I would have to agree with that. Lost my train of thought there. It just seems to me, well, I just saw it yesterday on Crooks and Liars, they talked about cognitive dissonance, you know, and they showed they had a photograph of two newspaper pages. One says that Bush came out with a statement that, you know, there are some signs of things improving in Iraq. And the next newspaper shows, you know, 118 Shiites killed, you know. How do you put those two things together? You know, it's certainly capability of my brain, you know, it's like, you know, what is up?
I had an email the other day from our good buddy Luke in Knoxville, Tennessee, who asked, how is it that George Bush, after 4 years of war, can't tell if it's a civil war yet, but in a matter of weeks he can tell that the surge is working?
Yeah.
You know, for me, the surge isn't working when pilgrims on their way to whatever holy shrine are getting blown all asunder. That's not proof of success to me.
Mm-hmm.
When those Humvees hit the lots, they'll be gone.
Oh yeah.
Because what does each one of those cost, do you reckon, Gerard?
Well, a stripped-down street version Hummer, which is also ironic because you see these luxury vehicles going out of the same plant that these, you know, the military ones come out of. But the stripped-down H2 is a street vehicle. It goes for about $40,000.
So up-armored with the Kevlar and all the other bells and whistles, 80, 100? They're selling to the military, 125.
Yeah. Yeah. And the FEMA trailers that are sitting in that cow pasture near Hope, Arkansas, says in the Washington Post, FEMA is trying to figure out how to sell them now, and they're also selling off some of them, and at 40 cents on the dollar, which we as taxpayers bought.
Right. And I'm not kidding. The thing that I read says that they're no longer fit for human habitation.
Yeah, and there's a Sierra Club person that thinks they got formaldehyde gas in them, which is harmful to people. You know, it's just incredible. I wanted to bring this back to what you were talking about is with regard to the horn. You know, I've been listening to you guys for a long time. It's got to be over a year or more. And when I first heard it, I thought this is different. I'd been listening to Air America, and I thought, you know, and the more I listened, the more I realized that the whole format and really the conversation format, like you were just saying with Peter, that's the way to go. I mean, and that's the way I think something meaningful happens in those conversations that is more than just, you know, I've called into Randy Rhoads' show and I've called into other shows, but it's kind of a thing where, you know, if you don't have your soundbite ready and if it's not on the theme that they're trying to construct for the show, you might as well forget it. And, you know, it's just, to me, it kind of contributes to this whole soundbite culture that we're in. You know, let's look at the latest, you know, let's get all pissed off about the latest filth to come out of Ann Coulter's mouth, you know, and which is, I'm not, you know, it is horrible what she said. And
no, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, and I don't mean to belittle that my outrage at what, that she is in a forum where she can do that and people ask to actually listen to a person who basically appeals to everybody's baser instinct. But anyway, you know, if we can get away from that and actually have a conversation, something actually that's meaningful, I think, happens, and more comes of it in regard to getting rid of these morons that are running the country. I take a lot of inspiration from a lot of different places. You know, one of them is movies. And not too long ago, I saw that movie Bound for Glory, which is an old movie. I think it came out probably in the 70s, but about Woody Guthrie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in that movie, you know, it showed his how he worked with the farm workers out in California and you know, working to get people unionized and organized out there. And, you know, this kind of thing that you're doing on the horn, to me, there's a lot of parallels to that because it's just people talking. And it seems to me that that's how things really change, and that's how meaningful change happens, and that's how people get inspired to actually go out and do something. It's not listening to a soundbite or, you know, I think it's good we can get on and blow off some steam about these things, but, you know, it's the actual conversation back and forth that really, for me, does it. And that's basically all I wanted to say about it. But.
Well, thanks, Gerard. You know, from one perspective, I feel like if I'm going to be any good at what I do, I have to be able to put the clutch in and change gears and change topics or whatever at a moment's notice, because that makes me feel like I'm informed and I'm doing my job. On the other hand, I can't be an egomaniac about this and think that I'm the only one that's got anything to talk about, because I do not, you know, I even using the Google, I can't pretend that I've seen everything in a day, and I'm prone to miss stuff, and that's what makes this brilliant to me is between you and all the other people who share their time with what goes on the horn. We don't miss things. This is how we don't miss things, by engaging in these conversations.
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody mentioned in the chat room the other night, too, about during the American Revolution, they talked about, what did they call those? Correspondence committees, where somebody in this, you know, colony over here would write, they would get together and say, hey, this is what the British are doing over here, and, you know, write and send it to somebody else, and they, you know, and that's how it worked. It was just person to person, you know, and so many things in this country over the years have changed just because of a few people getting together and talking person to person. And I just, you know, I hope we can continue to do this. I hope the horn stays out. I know I'm going to be around as long.
No, we're not going anywhere. I was just trying to get, you know, I just wanted people to understand what was going on and what the stakes were. Gerard, I've got to roll along. Thanks so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Good night, bye.
All right, bye now. And fast running out of time. First of all, you know, I like doing the happy stuff, too. We've got a listener up in Jersey where, you know, they've actually decided to get humane with their laws about who can commit to one another. And I just want to pass along congratulations to our friend Mel and his partner as they've had a commitment ceremony, and doggone it, they're going to get to spend their lives together within the sanction of government of the people of New Jersey. And you know what? That's something to celebrate. A little bit at a time. Congratulations, Jim.
Hello. Yeah, how are you tonight, Bob?
I'm getting along, I reckon.
Listen, I just have a few suggestions if I may, if I can, please.
Okay.
I know you're talking about money tonight and things of that nature, and it's very hard for any type of thing to continue to survive without some type of corporate sponsorship, or maybe in your case, endowments from private grants and things of that nature. They'd be very effective, and I offer that to you as a suggestion. And another thing, ever since I've been talking to you, and you and I have been talking for a number of years, and ever since you've been on this internet system, I have never used your toll-free number. I've always called on my own dime. And I suggest to you that people, if they really want to help you, that they should use their own phone numbers instead of using that toll-free number, because that can be very expensive. I mean, and also, you know, brevity is the soul of wit. I know I come from the Deep South, but where I was brought up, we were always pretty succinct and to the point. And being in the military, and by the way, my association with the military, I held the rank of captain.
Okay.
What branch of service, that's immaterial. That's between me and the government. But I do know that, you know, you have to adhere to the KISS principle. Keep it sweet and keep it simple, and, you know, and you have to kind of keep it short. But, you know, if people were to use their own phone number, and so that toll-free number, it could help you a lot fiscally.
Well, thank you, Jim. That's very true. I mentioned that early on, and I sort of dropped by the boards, and I'm glad you reminded me.
I mean, I never use the toll-free number because it costs you roughly six cents a minute, and sometimes you have individuals who like to talk. I understand. That's fine. But if it means that much to them, then let them do it on their dime and not yours. I think it'd help you out.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. We're fresh out of time, Jim, but thanks a lot. I appreciate those suggestions. I really do.
Well, they're well met. Thank you.
Bye now. We are at the end of the program. I'm sorry if you're on hold. To a certain extent, I have failed because I didn't get to you. But if you try again tomorrow night, I promise you, you're first on the list. The show tonight, of course, was produced, as ever, by my lovely, darling, talented wife, Agnes. It was engineered by John Fox in Sydney, Australia. Our IT professional is Peter Godbold in Florida. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams, the archives, and the podcasts of all the programming on this network. And he's got a fundraiser going on. And let me reiterate, please, support Guy James. Support Guy James, because he's pouring his heart and soul into this. And he needs your support. We are supported by the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They are building the American dream every day. And now you know why. At the end of every program, I say, always, RMR, always, always, it's all for you.
listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Democrats want Iraq pullout by fall 2008. Libby prepares request for new trial. The verdict in the Libby perjury trial leaves Dick Cheney exposed. Clinton calls for a GI Bill of Rights. Gasoline again flirts with a $3 mark. John Edwards to skip Nevada debate. Rocky rips Bush at impeachment rally. Grassroots effort underway to force impeachment of Bush and Cheney. Vermont votes to impeach Bush and Cheney. Hagel suggests possibility of Bush impeachment. He's not accountable anymore. Transpartisan coalition calls for whistleblowing hearings. Makers of soda try a new pitch. Hey, they're healthy, they say. Automakers ask judge to dismiss global warming lawsuit. Dead Russian reporter was investigating arms sale to Iran and Syria. Bill would block credit cards for illegals. And the sports fans who drink the most wine are? New figures are released. And finally, Denver unveils parking meters for homeless. What? These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.